Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Live inside the Kia Studios, it is Dukes and Bell. I was talking to the underball, Sean. He was not putting out a memo to say that producers cannot speak. We were actually talking about hoops in the producer's room in there. And it's interesting, Mike, because we were just talking about
this. And
by
the way, it's not about Arthur. The other producers ruined it for everybody else. Back to you, Carl.
I'm glad you said that. Where's my bell? The deal is, you were asking me, we were having this conversation off the air, because we're stoked about having the number three pick. And, you know, again, where we go with this, there's a lot of possibilities for our Atlanta Hawks. We'll get to an NFL blitz coming up here in just a second. But, you know, if you think Collins, all right, John Collins, the kid we drafted last year, is a five or four. And for those folks who don't know the numbers, you know, one is a point guard, two shooting guard, three small forward. A four is considered a power forward. But now in this day and age of the NBA, we call them stretch fours because they're guys like Al Horford who can go out and shoot threes, but yet they're 6'11". So, you know, is Collins a four or five 3 years from now? Meaning, is he the guy manning the middle for you? Is he your rim protector guy? Or is his game more of a stretch four? And the reason why I was asking this is because if you draft Bagley, to me, Bagley's more of that as well.
That's the thing. And a couple of guys are asking, what do you do with John Collins if that's the case? I mean, can you find a way for them to coexist in the offense, or do you move John Collins? He was a 19th overall pick. Great guy. I mean, the kind of guy you want representing your franchise. We've spoken to him numerous times. He's a really good guy. I just think there's more upside with Marvin Bagley. You know, I mean, and Bagley's just, I think he's just scratching the surface of his offensive game, what you saw. I mean, again, nobody's the finished product that's coming out of the college ranks unless, I mean, look at Torian Prince. He played for, 3 years at Baylor, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? So here's a guy that just has 1 year at Duke. I saw Bagley make moves, baseline, can dribble. I know he's more left-hand dominant, but still, I would move on from Collins or try to, maybe you try to find a way to make it coexist.
404-741-0929. And by the way, I'm not saying you pass up Bagley.
Would you like Bagley?
This.
I mean, what do you?
I do. No. But I just think, what's the plan? And this was the discussion we were having, and I'll bring it to you guys. We're not talking about next year. I still think wherever LeBron ends up, okay, it's still in the East.
Right.
It's going to be.
You really buy the Philly thing?
Well, listen, if he goes there, they're going to finals because they're ready. And he will have enough young, talented, versatile pieces around him to make that move. But we're not talking about next year or maybe 2 years from now. This is post-LeBron. Let's think about this. In 3 years, who will be running the Eastern Conference? Boston and Philly. And if you're thinking about those teams and matching up with them, and, hey, we got to get past these teams, Mike, then that's how you have to construct your team now. And so, you know, if what I'm saying is, if you think that, you know, Bagley is a guy that's going to be able to shoot threes in the NBA and bring guys out and take them off the dribble at his size, then that's fine. And maybe that's the style. But I think, you know, we're not going to have that solid rim protector. The Embiid or the Boogie Cousins is not going to be there.
Well, the other thing is, you know, this whole Schroeder soap opera, where does this play out? You know, you got Dennis Schroeder on his social media, you know, actually in an interview initially saying that he's looking to move on. Other teams he thinks are going in a better direction, basically inferring that we're going the wrong way. Then he tries to make kissy face on his Instagram yesterday after it hit the fan. But, I mean, is that relationship salvageable? As a Hawks fan, do you want to move on from Schroeder? It's funny. I don't know if it's like 6-1, half a dozen the other, because every time we talk about it on Twitter or on social media, I get like a 50-50 response on that deal.
Yeah.
Because if Schroeder could just mature and make good decisions, develop a more consistent three-point shot, then you got your point guard, you know? And then you don't have to worry, because now in this draft, you got to consider at some point we got to address point guard.
You're right. It's easier to keep him and make it work than it is to move
What's
on
that
from
country
him.
Song, Cheaper to Keep Her?
Cheaper to Keep Her. Than it is to move on from him, AT, and try now to reconstruct your team. I mean, really, it is. It's
but
easier.
But is that horse out of the barn, though, based on where his head's at?
All right, no. I think Lloyd Pierce, maybe he has a talk with him. Maybe there's a new direction here that Dennis is not aware of. I don't know. If he wants to go to Milwaukee, isn't it ironic he mentioned Milwaukee 3 days ago and we find out today that Coach Bud had lunch or dinner with Giannis?
By the way, I don't want no part of that. No part of that. I don't want no. I don't want Schroeder back here. No. I've had my share of that head case. I do not want Golden Patch coming up here. No way.
Coach, he listens to you.
Oh yeah, sure he listens. Only on days that end in. Well, no, he never listens to me in days that end in a Y.
I don't know. I'm not sure where that's going to go. But I mean, that maybe that is a viable option. See, that's the thing that other guys, and I wrote about it on Twitter, and guys are like, well, what's the market for Dennis? I don't know. Is there even market for Dennis? Who wants him? Because of the things potential's
market,
still there.
But the return on the investment is not there.
You're not going to get a lot for him. That's the problem.
No. Hey, man, love to hear from you guys. Appreciate the Hoops conversation as we are stoked about the Hawks getting the third overall pick. And here's the deal for us. And if you're not a Hoops fan or a Hawks fan, guys, we want all our teams to be great. You know, Mike and I talk about it all the time. It's why we talk United. It's why we talk Falcons. It's why we talk Hawks. It's why we talk Braves. We're all about championships, and we will strive to help our teams do that by acquiring the right people or letting go of people. All right, man, let's talk to about the NFL.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, what's going on in the NFL? It is official. The Panthers announced the sale of the team to Steelers minority partner David Tepper. We mentioned this yesterday, but again, it's official. Setting the stage for the approval, which is going to be here in Atlanta at the owners' meetings. This is not going to be a problem, right? I mean, all these owners are on point. Yeah. They get it.
He's got the again, it's all about the financials. He's got the money. The other guy that was in the running, they didn't like his business model and the way he made his money.
Shady.
Well, just, you know, in predatory lending habits and practices, but amongst other things in his financial background. But, you know, I mean, this guy is a guy who's got experience. He's been part of the Steelers ownership group, so he fits the bill and wants to keep the team in Carolina. The good news is for people like Arthur Blank, I mean, seriously, if you've got the team worth, what, $2.2
billion? $2.2.
I mean, then what are the Falcons? They were worth $2.13, according to Forbes, last season. It's got to be higher than that. We got this brand-new stadium. Arthur bought the team for $545 million, by the way, back in the day.
Nice investment.
Mm-hmm.
I always talk about this, though. People always talk about these owners and how much money they're making. Guys, you recoup it on the back end. You don't buy a team, and don't get me wrong, they're making money, but that's where you make your money.
And it is the ultimate billionaire's boys club. And that's why sometimes the president gets in his feelings about the NFL, because for years, even when he tried to leverage his USFL ownership into getting the NFL team, he never cracked that club.
I'm going to ask you what a Falcon fan asked me, and I want you to answer it honestly. Dukes, why don't we go get Dez Bryant?
Because we don't need him. I already got enough wide receivers. And by the way, he's probably not a fit for what we need him to do. You can't – I mean, we broke it down. Who was it we had? Bucky Brooks on, who talked about his inability to make the kind of turns and the moves that you need him to make. Best fit for him is, I think, where Jason Witten said, Green Bay.
Dez is maybe running out of options. He says he has no regrets, Mike, of passing on the Ravens for their offer. What was it, 3 years? I think it was a three-year deal.
Yeah, it's 3 years, $21
million. So he turns 30 in November. He wants a one-year deal to prove himself and then get a long-term deal in 2019. Now, let's think about this. 1 year, that means you roll into next year, and let's just say he balls out. Are you paying a 31-year-old Dez Bryant now big money?
He should have took – I don't know what he was thinking. Take that Raven. I mean, what are you chasing? I mean, you're chasing a ring, you go to Green Bay. If you just want to get paid, you should have taken the Ravens deal. I mean, his son, your ego's right. He checks your body, can't cash. He just doesn't have the ability to do it at that level. That's why, I mean, it really does seem like it was just, a complete insanity not to take the deal that Baltimore had on the table.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, the Buffalo Bills are retiring. This even sounds weird. Finally retiring Thurman Thomas's number 34. Didn't you think it was already retired?
Yeah, like, what the dealio on that?
I have no idea. Apparently, this is going to happen. Ceremony at halftime, October 29th, when the Bills host the Patriots. Thomas will join former teammates Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith in having their numbers retired. Remember, guys, that was a team that went to four straight Super Bowls and lost them all.
If somebody wants to hit us up who's from Buffalo and now lives here, when are they getting their new stadium? Because, boy, that stadium is a dump. You want to talk about competing with the elite teams in the NFL? Remember they tried playing those games in Toronto?
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get some juice, and that didn't really help. Hey, man, our buddy Mike Smith did an interview with the Tampa Bay Times talking about his Tampa Bay Bucs defense.
What did Smitty say?
It's got to be a hell of a lot better than what we put out there last year. Lower pad levels. Obviously, we've got to be more consistent in everything we do.
Okay, Coach. Well, you went defense in the draft. You got to feel good about that.
Sure did, didn't we?
Sorry, you know what? It's not fair to Smitty. Gonna run into one day in the off season at River Club at his house or something, or on the golf course. He's gonna punch me in the head. But anyway, yeah, he's agreeing that the numbers are not anywhere where they need to be. Certainly, they've beefed it up. They went and got Jason Pierre-Paul. They go Vita Vea. They already got Gerald McCoy.
Think they're going to get sacks, right? Lots of sacks?
Well, sacks are overrated.
Yeah, I remember, Coach.
That was our old joke here. But they signed lineman Vinny Curry, Bo Allen, Mitch Irvin. So they got some guys. They got some dudes. See how they match up against our offensive line. But look, Smitty, I think vis-a-vis this interview and Dirk Cutter, no. It's all attached to Jameis Winston. If they can't get him back into the, you know, better decisions, more touchdowns, Cutter and Smitty are going to be looking for a gig at the end of this year.
Our Blitz segment, guys, is brought to you by Jim Ellis, Kia of Kennesaw, Georgia's newest Kia dealership. Better service, selection, better value. All the things you'd expect from a Jim Ellis family-owned and operated dealership. Visit Jim Ellis, Kia of Kennesaw today. Go see my friends. I want to ask you about the Dolphins. This is funny to me. Dolphins say that Danny Amendola's work ethic is making the entire team better. And I'm like, well, who's delivering the ball to Danny? What about the quarterback in Miami? According to Adam Gase, Ryan Tannehill isn't worried about the Dolphins drafting a quarterback. So, you know, again, you say you don't believe in him. I don't necessarily believe in him either. But Danny is a good player. Don't get me wrong. But it's all about the quarterback.
Yeah, and do you believe in Ryan Tannehill?
No.
Because I don't think a lot of Dolphin fans do either. One thing for certain, though, if you're about Danny Amendola and his work ethic, you know, here he's a typical undersized guy making plays, you know, catching big catches, big plays with the Patriots. More importantly, as far as a motivational tool, that guy was dating Miss Universe. Think about that long and hard.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, everybody's got their Mount Everest. For me, that would be it. But Amendola, I just don't know what he's got left in the tank. But, hey, if that helps in the locker room, because sure seems like they need an infusion of positive energy after all the knuckleheads, or at least the ones that Adam Gase thought were knuckleheads, got the gate.
Your chance to win some money coming up. Meanwhile, Cleveland, they say they drafted Denzel Ward. Remember at 4, we thought they might go
right
with Bradley Chubb. And they go Denzel Ward. They say they drafted Ward to be a shutdown corner. They will start him week 1. Week 1, you know who they play? The Pittsburgh Steelers. That guy, Antonio Brown, you got him. Good luck. go get that guy right there.
Let's see. Bryant got traded. Schuster's obviously an emerging receiver for them. But, yeah, obviously it's going to be Antonio Brown schooling the young man at some point in that game.
Juju on that beat. Yeah, so Ward's going to – that's how you get your introduction to the NFL. Listen, I don't know. Everybody's high on Ward, what he could do. Did they reach and take him there? They said, and I said this right after the draft, the Browns believed after watching their tape with their defensive team as they are right now that they were a half a step away from getting to the quarterback. And they feel like if their guys can cover for that extra half step, that they're going to get more sacks and it's going to help the entire defense. That's their philosophy. We'll see if it works out for the Browns.
Hey, man, the Falcons guys, we told you about the rookie camp that comes and goes. And, again, we'll be talking Play More Falcons coming up at 5 o'clock, including the odds. Vegas has posted the numbers for who's got the best odds to win this division. And, unfortunately, it is not the Falcons.
All right, man, let's give you a chance to win some cold, hard cash.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
royalty. R-O-Y-A-L-T-Y. Text it right now.
You know who's a big fan of royalty?
Who's that?
Arthur Trish said he cannot wait to get up early to watch the wedding.
Yes, this weekend.
On Saturday morning. Royalty. R-O-Y-A-L-T-Y to 72881. Arthur says he feels for Miss Markle's parents. Says they're being objectified, obviously, now by the tabloid press over there in England. It's just terrible. Royalty, guys, to 72881. Royalty. I mean, Arthur might even be on a speakerphone with my mom while they make they'll do some commentary, maybe a podcast, watching the royal wedding. Again, royalty to 72881, and good luck with $1,000.
All right. It is a big deal over there. Well, I guess it's a big deal worldwide, you know.
Yeah.
If you're into those things.
My mom will be watching, and Will Guerin, that'll be about it.
Well, it's funny because, you know, like Princess Diana, you know, when that whole thing happened, what was that, 1980? I think
82 or something?
Yeah.
I remember my grandmother, my mom's mom's from Northern Ireland, English. Yeah, because remember my grandma getting up, and then my grandma made tea, and we had English flags and the whole thing. They were all so excited. I was like, this is so stupid.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Yeah, you're right, Brian. Mike does know a lot of details about it. It's true.
Well, I am English. Remember, I did my ancestry. I'm 71%.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm more English than Irish.
That's true. What else shocked you? You were more something than something else,
I'm
too.
More Swedish than Irish.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm more Portuguese than Italian.
I get this phone call. This
freaking
message.
Mutt.
He leaves me this message. You won't believe this. Call me back.
What? And I tell you, and meanwhile, I'm trying to see you. When are you going to do your ancestry? Find out if you're from Wakanda or not.
Well, my sister, she did this a few years ago. And I was like, hey, what's the results? She didn't want to share the results with me. She's like, mm-mm. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? I'm like, what did you find out? Where do we come from? We have money? What's going on here?
For guys who don't know, Ancestry.com, there's a bunch of them, 23andMe, but the Ancestry one's really good for your lineage if you're into that. You just basically, they send you a test tube, you spit in it, you ship it off to the lab, and you find out in about 6 weeks where you came from. Mm. Unless you're afraid of the answers.
Which may be the case.
It was both enlightening and slightly disappointing, I must say, for my situation.
Hey, guys, if you're coming out on June 6th to be with us at Topgolf in Midtown, here's the deal. I want to be clear on this. You know, Mike and I, we love you guys coming and hanging out with us, but we want you to sign up and play, okay? Mm-hmm. It's the Grady Jarrett 92.9 The Game 5th Annual Golf Celebrity Classic, but we're doing it a little different this year. We're going to hit some target golf, so we're going to Topgolf, but as much as we'd love for you to just come hang out, we want you to actually sign up and play.
Tax deductible, guys. Going to charity. It's going to a nonprofit. So if you want to get in on the action, just go to the website and get signed up because it's going to be a blast. Something different. Target Golf with you guys. Some food, some cocktails. A lot of fun over there at Top Golf here in Midtown West.
MLB.com correspondent Richard Justice joins us next. What's he think about these young Braves?
Sports Radio 92.9.
Coming up, we'll talk with Mike Conti. He will give us the 411 on our Atlanta United as he is the voice of our United. Big match on Sunday. And, of course, you'll be able to listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game against the Red Bulls. You counting down, my man? You a little excited?
Yeah, man. I got a couple days to big European vacay, by the way. Oh, real quick. Speaking of which, a couple guys were asking me where I was going. Yeah, we talked about this the other day. I mean, you don't have to gloat because I know people out there. You know,
well, of course not.
No, you don't be that guy.
No, it was a never.
Nice trip. No, I had to, you know, I had to call the bank and say, look, I'm going to Europe. And
yeah, it's thousands of dollars.
So just in case, don't block my credit cards if you see a charge somewhere in the.
Go ahead and tell our listeners where you're headed.
I'm going to Venice, okay? I'm going to Northern Italy, then I'm going to the south of France. Which will then culminate with a trip to Monte Carlo.
I can't tell you how this sounds, but yes, it's true.
All right, you know what? And that's exactly what's happened. I talked to the lady from the credit card company today, and she's like, oh, that's so exciting. I've always wanted to go. And I'm like, I know. And I'm like, well, I don't have kids. And there I am. I'm spending 2 minutes on the telephone justifying this trip to a complete stranger somewhere working for the credit card company. But anyway, hey, man, real quick, couple of things before we get to our baseball guest. Bunch of guys been hitting us up on Twitter. He's put them up, C-Dukes, on Mike Bell ATL with suggestions about trades we could move and do this and that. Now everybody covets Terry Rozier from the Celtics. Guys, he's locked up until 2019, restricted free agent. So the Celtics, and why would they want to move on from a guy? He's 24 and he's playing great coming out of Louisville. Now he's making money shots in the playoffs for him.
Yeah.
But we could trade for him, but we ain't got nothing they'd want.
No, I don't think so either. Because they've drafted well.
Yeah, they don't want Dennis.
And they've had lottery picks that are panning out for them. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So the only thing that we could potentially do is if the Celtics offer him, and then as Mike Conte was telling us, you know, that you could try to match the deal.
Right.
But then that's about value. You mean, you know, mm-hmm. Are you willing to bring him in for that? Hey, before we talk to our man, Richard Justice, who writes for MLB.com, you see this T.I. story? I just saw this.
And I were talking about this off the air as well.
T.I. was arrested for trying to enter his Atlanta gated community down in Henry County. This morning after he attempted to enter without his key. And so I'm just finding out. I hadn't seen this because I hadn't been on social media pretty much all day as I got to work today. But kind of interesting, man. With T.I. apparently. Free T.I. He's already out of jail. when he said, I guess he told Channel 2, or they obtained the mugshot of Tip as he was arrested this morning. But are you trying to go home and you get arrested? Really?
You forgot his key?
Yeah, but you live in the community. I mean, like, somebody doesn't know that you live there? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, where's this? Now, where was this at, by the way?
Henry County. That's where, I guess, his house is.
Why do these guys live out? Why?
You can get a lot of house down there, Mike.
I know, because we played over at Wolf Creek the other day. There's some great houses down there. Yeah. But Move to the city, son.
Fine. Interesting. More on that to come, man. I just, like I said, I just was looking at it. People were hitting me up saying, Dukes, did you see it? Let's talk to a friend of the show. He knows baseball, guys, and has been covering it for a very long time. Richard Justice, one of the trusted sources for me over the years, and he is with MLB.com. And, Richard, it's good to have you back on. Obviously, we're excited here in the ATL about what these young Braves are doing because – and I mean, for those folks around the country who haven't followed this story, very similar to the Astros and their rebuild, or, you know, you could talk about Kansas City a few years ago. Same kind of thing going on here, and here the Braves are in first place.
It's been the most interesting team in baseball, the Braves and the Phillies for sure, because you could see this coming. But, you know, Carl, even when you can see it coming, sometimes it doesn't happen. And, I mean, just to watch the strides that Acuna has made and to see Albies, it's great fun. You know, and I think they've got staying power. You know, I know young pitching gets tested through the grind of a long season, but, you know, you have Fulton Evans and Teheran and McCarthy who are not, you know, I mean, they should be able to go through a full season. Right. So it's a good thing. I hope people there are enjoying it.
Well, certainly, because it's been a long time coming, as you said. Richard Justice with us here, guys, MLB.com correspondent. The question we've been asking is, when you make that transition from rebuild to now let's go be buyers at the trade deadline, I mean, do you feel that this management group, or do you have any insight to maybe we will be guys looking for some players, more specifically bullpen help at the trade deadline?
Well, I know this. When they hired Alex Anthopoulos over the offseason, they couldn't have gotten a better baseball guy. And you've already seen it, to go out and get Flaherty, to go out and get Preston Tucker. Mm-hmm. You know, and the signing to me of Jose Bautista just says, we're not going to leave any stone unturned. So I think there's, if there's a deal to be made, he will try to make it. Bullpen help is probably the hardest thing to get at this time of year because everybody's trying to get it. You know, only a few teams are going to go try to get Manny Machado. But everybody is going to go try to get that extra arm for the bullpen.
What is going on with the Nationals? I know they're a little banged up. And, you know, I don't want to fast forward, but everybody thinks that Bryce Harper, you know, he may be ultimately leaving there. I don't know what you're hearing in baseball circles. But what's going on with the Nationals?
They're playing great right now. They're playing the best they've played in a while. I would think they've got a great shot to win that division. And, you know, we talked about the stuff that Alex Anthopoulos done in getting Flaherty and getting Tucker. The Washington general manager, I mean, their season could have been destroyed by injuries.
Right.
And he went out and got all these guys, you know, to replace key people like Howie Kendrick and Wilmer Defoe and Jeremy Hellickson and Matt Adams. He made phone call after phone call trying to convince Mark Reynolds. You know, he had drafted him when Mike Rizzo, the general manager, was with the Diamondbacks. Guy comes up, you know, and Mark told him, says, I want to get to the big leagues. I had 30 homers for Colorado last year. And he goes, well, sitting at home, you're not getting any closer. And he signed a AAA contract and comes in, plays his first game Sunday in Arizona and hits two home runs. That's the way it's going for them right now. I think they're really good. And, you know, what they did was they survived a tough start with a rookie manager, and that's complicated.
Talking baseball with the baseball man, MLB.com correspondent Richard Justice. Guys, it's at Richard Justice on Twitter if you want to see what's going on in the big leagues. How surprised were you by the Robinson Cano suspension? I know that in an interview, Brian Cashman, his former GM in New York County, was passive-aggressive and kind of backtracked about maybe suspicions about him being on PEDs when he was a Yankee.
They had suspensions because he was buddies with A-Rod and Melky Cabrera. But, you know, the guy played 5 years in Seattle. I would say this, it's inexcusable. And you hurt your reputation, you cost yourself $12 million, and most of all, you hurt your team, because this is a good team, and he was the heart and soul of that club, he and King Felix. And now, you know, if they make it to the postseason, he can't play in the postseason. But I'll tell you what the influence he had, and this tells you why it's the gut punch to the Mariners of things you can't measure. They had a kid, a young shortstop, he's with Arizona now, Ketel Marte, came up a couple of years ago. He wasn't ready for the big leagues in terms of what to wear and all of that stuff. Robbie took care of him, you know. And he came in one day and found a Louis Vuitton bag or something on his chair. And Robbie told him, look, you're going to be a big leaguer. You got to look like a big leaguer. And that's just one small example of the influence he had on, you know, those young guys. People that were around that team, that are around that team a lot more than me, and I was around it a little bit, will tell you he was a huge, huge part of what they, you know, their improvement. So it's a gut punch. You know, this guy, this is an 8-time All-Star with borderline Hall of Fame numbers. You're not going to replace that. I mean, unless you're going to go out and trade Manny Machado, you're not going to do that.
You know, people say baseball's great when the Yankees and Red Sox are playing well, and they are. But is it Astros and one of those two teams in the ALCS? Are we already projecting that far?
No. A thousand pieces of confetti have to fall into place. I mean, the Astros won the World Series last year, but they were about to come home to play a deciding Game 5 against the Red Sox till Bregman homered off Chris Sale. They had to win two elimination games at home against the Yankees, and then they had to win. I mean, if Marlon Gonzalez doesn't hit an 0-2 fastball over the center field wall off the best closer in baseball, they're not winning a World Series. And they had games 2 and 5 were two of the craziest series ever. So, I think it's easy to say the Red Sox, Yankees, and the Astros, probably the Indians, although they are really scuffling right now. There's no team over 500 in the AL Central. But I think it's easy to say that those teams are going to the postseason. You know, in the National League, it's a mess with the NL Central. It's a five-way tie for first, basically. So you have a lot of teams, the Dodgers not being one of the teams that looks like it's in the mix.
Talking baseball with Richard Justice from MLB.com. Richard, last night the Braves taking on the chin. A couple of really funky umpiring decisions. We lose a challenge on a bang-bang play at home. Looked to be Camargo got under the tag on a wild pitch. Then they lose a challenge on the next sequence where there's a stolen third base, which it looks like the umps got it wrong. Are the umps' ego getting involved? Because, and for one thing for certain, it's taking way too much time. It's not being done in a streamlined fashion to get the replay working in MLB.
Well, people like it when it works to your favor, and they don't like it when it works against you. I mean, it's they've said from the beginning that it came in, it was going to be a work in progress. They're trying to get the calls right. Are they perfect? They're not 100% perfect. But I think basically most nights people leave the ballpark feeling that the call was right. And I watched the highlights. I'm relying on our guy, Mark Bowman, who covers the team for thebraves.com. And, I think he would agree with you on the first one. I'm not sure about the second one.
Is there anything we can do to make it better, like right now, or is this just a situation we're going to have to wait?
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. They're trying to speed it up. They got experienced people doing it. But the thing is, with the super slow-mo cameras technology now, I mean, you can see every granular detail of it. But sometimes the play is just too close to call. And, you know, I mean, there is a human element involved, but I think most people, if you ask players and managers, what's the problem with umpiring today? They would inevitably say balls and strikes. Which I would say, yeah, but you got guys throwing 100-mile-an-hour cutter, you got guys throwing sliders at 90 miles an hour, and you got 12-6 curveballs. I'm not sure the game has ever seen the quality of pitching we've seen before. Jimmy Leland said what would piss him off was an umpire would go, he's got to throw a 90-mile-an-hour slider, and he'd say, hey, where was that? And he goes, Jimmy, that was just about a half inch outside. And you know, like, hey, come on. You can only hear it. You can't see it. So, yeah, there's always going to be mistakes made, and especially when it goes against your team.
Yeah, Richard Justice with us here from MLB.com on the WadeFord.com hotline. I hear what you're saying, Richard, but, I mean, other sports, we're getting definitive replays here. It just seems like it might be time to straighten these umpires out again. When was the last time we fired them all and brought them back?
Would you stop it? We can't fire everybody.
Sure we can.
No. So, I mean, I'll tell you what. If you go through and look at the calls on a nightly basis, and I'm not just saying this because a lot of those guys are friends of mine, it's amazing how good they are. And, it's the difference between NBA referees and college basketball referees. For the most part, NBA refs are incredible, and especially, officiating, you can well, that's right, but officiating big guys is really hard to do. And I think everybody's just trying to do their best. I think replay's been good for the game. Not everybody likes the pauses. They've tried to speed it up a little bit. But it's just an effort. You'd be remiss if you didn't use all the technology at your disposal to try to get the calls right. But there are going to be moments that are not right.
Watch him on TV. Read his stuff. MLB.com correspondent Richard Justice. He's all over the place, guys. Thank you so much, Richard. Good to talk with you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, Carl. Thank you.
No doubt. Braves, by the way, tonight it's Brandon McCarthy on the hill for the Bravos against the Cubs. We got more to get to. Yeah, Atlanta United, conversation coming up next with Mike Conte, the voice of our Atlanta United guys. And it's a big match this weekend. We'll talk to him about what to expect coming up on Dukes and Bell.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Time for the weekly Five Stripes preview.
And it's punched in for a goal.
With Atlanta United announcer Mike Conti. Brought to you by Associated Credit Union. The way banking should be.
All right, we do it every week with Mike Conti, and we got another big match coming up we'll talk about with the Red Bulls. But I always like to start and kind of rewind and talk about what went down. I think, you know, outside of us winning, obviously, and Mike and I will talk to you about that, I think as a United fan, you know, the most disappointing thing was seeing how those Goobers acted down there, man. And, you know, you hate to start calling people out, but it is what it is. And when you're seeing, as Mike talked about, you know, Joseph Martinez trying to take pictures and people are throwing up fingers and then they're throwing trash onto the field. All right, so what does the MLS do about this behavior?
Probably nothing, to be honest. I mean, the thing that you really don't like to see is bottles being thrown.
Right.
That's dangerous. People could get hurt. You know, the obscene gestures, the large-ish woman flashing Joseph as he was going to take the penalty kick.
I mean, I'm amazed the guy. First of all, there's one thing, Mike, about being distracted. I'm just amazed he didn't throw up on himself.
Well, you know, some things.
Some
things just go along with being passionate fans, and that happens. The bottle throwing is an issue. I will give Orlando City credit. I was told that they've identified 15 people who did it,
okay,
and they're going to take action against them. You have to do that. You just cannot tolerate the bottle throwing. Guys, here's the thing, though. Yes, there are hated rivals, but they've created a pretty good atmosphere down there. It was noisy. It was a cauldron of sound.
What, 24,000, 25,000?
They had 25,000 there. It felt like walking out of the Superdome when that match was over. I mean, the first thing you want is to take an Advil because you've got this splitting headache. It's been loud for 90 minutes. Their fans did a good job. They created an intimidating atmosphere. The Atlanta United supporters did a great job in a very hostile atmosphere, providing a lot of noise and support themselves. It was, I thought, a very, very fun match. Glad that Atlanta United came out on the winning end. They were by far the better team Sunday night. I don't think the 2-1 score line indicates just how decisive that victory was. But as far as the league taking any action, I don't really anticipate much because they probably like the fact that the fans down there are showing a lot of passion.
Right. I mean, they're famous for wearing it. You know, they want to be branded. It's almost like going to Philly. You want the worst fans?
Yeah.
We'll give you the worst fans.
No, that's true. And it's a badge of honor for them almost.
Mike Conti's in here, guys, with our weekly breakdown of Atlanta United FC. More coming up on Red Bulls. But 9 corner kicks for Orlando City with Alex Cannon net. Mm-hmm. And Alex did a hell of a job.
He sure did.
Only one weak punch out, but it was kind of a knuckleball, right?
Yeah, which led to the goal by Miram. I think he got, to use a hockey term, a little bit crossed up on that.
Right.
I thought he did great, made 5 saves. If you would have told me he would be in position to make 5 saves, I would have thought Atlanta United would be in a little trouble because Guzan has won 5 games this year, making 1 save or less. So the back line really did its job.
Right.
Most of the saves that he made were pretty easy catches, okay? You know, it's not like he was under siege at any point during the match. I think the story of the season, guys, continues to be the job that Michael Parkhurst and Leandro Gonzalez-Perez have done week after week. And here again now, you can add Dom Dwyer to a growing list that includes Piatti and Zlatan and maybe even David Villa. A couple really high-caliber, fearsome attacking opponents that have been completely taken out of the match by that Atlanta United back line, and LGP in particular. I feel strongly Parkhurst and LGP are having all-star caliber seasons. That's why Atlanta United's made this big jump from year one to now.
Okay.
They were scoring goals last year at this time. It's just the defending wasn't there. Now the defending is there, and you can really see the difference.
Tata's decision to not start Villalba, you know, everybody talked about that again. And it's guys, we got guys, Mike and I say it every week, but they can come off the bench at any time and maybe be starting
elsewhere. Isn't it kind of a luxury to be able to bring Villalba off the bench?
I think it is. I didn't have an issue with it, but I know some people were like, all right, here's Tata with strategy, but it worked
again.
Here's
the thing. Tito's not pouting, all right?
Right.
No. All right, this is not a big deal. He's not being a diva about it. He's accepting his role, and they're winning. It's fine. Atlanta United is 0-2 this year playing in a 4-2-3-1. They are 8-0-1 playing in a 3-5-2. Well, if you're in a 3-5-2, Tino doesn't fit as well, okay?
Right.
He's a great guy to have come off the bench. He'll probably continue to be that guy. And then maybe down the road you have an injury or you have a personnel move or something like that, and Tito's role becomes a little bit more defined. But for now, this is working. And I really think a guy like Tito Vejába, he strikes me as a guy who's way more concerned about winning matches than playing 90 minutes.
Mike Conte's with us here, guys. Hear him and Jason Longshore with a call Sunday against the New York Red Bulls. Let's talk about what they're doing. They've got two games in hand. They're 7 or 8 games, points behind us, I believe, in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. But they're in the playoffs right now if the season started.
They're really good. Yeah. I mean, they've won 3 in a row.
And talk about Bradley Wright Phillips. Yeah. Is that their biggest weapon?
He's their Almiron, okay? So he's third in the league in scoring right now, 6 goals. I think he's fourth in the league in assists with 5. I think those are identical numbers to Almiron. High shot total, much like Miguel Almiron. Okay, so he's their Almiron. That's the guy you're going to have to shut down Sunday night. The thing about New York City, you know, I think we talked about how Atlanta United looking at Sporting Kansas City last Wednesday was kind of like looking at themselves in the mirror a little bit because they're very, very similar. They do the same things very well. Atlanta United and New York Red Bulls are even in goal differential right now. They're both plus 12. That's best in the league.
Wow.
Okay. They're right at the top as far as number of goals scored and fewest goals allowed. Okay. So a lot like Atlanta United, New York Red Bulls, they defend extremely well. And they attack and they press. And this is going to be a tough match on Sunday. I like the fact that it's at home. And then you get this big break coming up after that where you don't have to play next week. And that is really, really clutch. But the Red Bulls should have a lot of confidence right now because they've played very well. They've won 3 in a row. And in that, they had a 4-0 win over New York City, which a lot of people thought next to Atlanta United might be the best team in the league. So don't take anything for granted. Bradley Wright Phillips won the Golden Boot 2 years ago. Still, I think, one of the best players in MLS. And is he going to join that list now of Zlatan and Piatti and Dom Dwyer as star players that have been totally shut down by the 5 stripes?
We're talking with Mike Conte. You mentioned the break, and this is brought to you by Associated Credit Union. Guys, 10 days. We play, you know, on the 20th, which is Sunday, and then you don't play again until Wednesday, May 30th, and that's on the road at Gillette Stadium against New England. And I would guess that some United fans might say, well, hey, listen, we're playing really good right now. This break is a good. You know, we always talk about this. Is it too long? Is it too much time off?
No, it's not. In fact, you have to remember it's not really a break because a lot of guys will be called up into international duty that week, and it's one of those FIFA windows, kind of the last round of friendlies before the World Cup. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very possible Nagby could be playing for the U.S. men's national team, maybe Garza. I don't know if Paraguay is playing, but Almiron could get called up. I don't know if Venezuela is playing. Maybe Martinez gets called up. So, I mean, a lot of those players are going to be playing that weekend, just not necessarily for Atlanta United. The other thing, look ahead now. You've got a couple more Wednesday matches coming up. You mentioned New England, and then U.S. Open Cup starts in June for Atlanta United. More Wednesday matches. And they want to go out and win U.S. Open Cup this year. It's one of the paths into CONCACAF Champions League, which is very, very important. They want to play among the best clubs, not only in North America, but around the world. So winning the U.S. Open Cup is a way to get in there.
Right.
And I think this year, as opposed to last year, you're going to see more first-choice lineups in U.S. Open Cup. So take it. My point is, long answer, sorry, guys. Take advantage of the break while you've got it.
Gotcha.
Because you're going to be playing a lot of matches coming up. And, of course, our 5 stars preview brought to you by Associated Credit Union, the way banking should be.
All right, guys. Pre-game against the Red Bulls, 6:30, kick at 7, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Conte, along with our buddy Jason Longshore, will have all of the action for you. Great job, Conte. Coming up, we'll go on the sidelines with the Dogs. Alabama and Texas getting together. Home and home series. We'll tell you about it. And remember, you can always text the show on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.